Okay, turn in your scriptures to the book of Jonah, please. Jonah's that famous old kid's story, isn't it? Known by everyone. And yet there's so much more to Jonah that we don't realise. And it takes the Holy Spirit, obviously, to convince us of these things. There's so many golden threads running through the book of Jonah and all the scriptures. All those threads lead to Christ and speak something of Christ and him crucified in the salvation of his people. And there are parallels between the Old Testament and the New Testament, aren't they? Last week Angus spoke from John 6, and there was a sea, and there were men in a boat, and there was a storm that was sent of God. There was a trial of the faith of those in the boat, and there was a resulting union between the Lord and his people. Jonah's story is similar. There's a boat. There's men in a boat. There's a storm that's sent by the Lord Jesus. There's a trial of men's faith. And there's a resulting union between the Lord again and his people. Jonah rebelled against God. You can read chapter 1 at your own leisure. But he rebelled against the Lord. And all of us, in all we do, in some way, rebel against the Lord. Jonah's no different to any of us. That's why we desperately need a Saviour. There's consequences to our sin in this world. And for the Lord's people, our God uses the consequences of those, of our sins, of that rebellion, to bring us to himself, to strengthen us in faith, to bring an intimate or more intimate experience of his presence, to bring forth true praise from our lips in a gospel declaration. See, chapter 1, and as I said, you can read it for yourself later on, but it starts with God sending Jonah to proclaim the gospel. To proclaim the gospel to a superpower. People don't realise it, but Jonah was of nation Israel, and it was hated by the Assyrians at the time. They were a superpower. It was no easy task the Lord sent Jonah on, and it makes many of our own failings, many of our own failings seem minuscule. But Jonah, like the rest of us, rebelled against God. And it ends with Jonah being lifted up and thrown into the raging sea, and that raging sea ceasing. It ends with the Lord having prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. And these 3 days symbolise death. They symbolise spiritual death, not just physical. But they also symbolise the 3 days that our Lord Jesus spent in the tomb as he represented his people. And then we come to chapter 2, and it's a detailed description of the saving experience of every one of God's children. Now, the circumstances might be different from case to case, but what's revealed to the sinner in this saving experience forms the foundation of their relationship with God. Now, there's many in this world that would teach that salvation is a pretty simple process. It relies on the free will of men. It relies on us praying a prayer or making a choice or walking an aisle or writing a name in a Bible. But as we'll see in this chapter, salvation is a mighty work of God, a work in which he embeds precious truths deep into our souls. And the truths would stay with his people for the rest of their lives. So just briefly, let's look at chapter 2. First one, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So it was after this life-threatening experience, both physically and spiritually, then true prayer to his Lord. See, we need to be completely consumed by the circumstances of our rebellion, and we need to be emptied of every worldly prop. Verse 2. Jonah said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. See, there's a conviction of sin that's necessary for us to truly cry to our Father in heaven. And this is a work of the Holy Spirit and him alone in the salvation of God's people. It's the first work, in a sense. And it causes us to look beyond our own abilities, beyond our own wisdom, and it causes us to cry out to God for salvation. And what is it to be heard of God? Now, God doesn't change. So if we're heard of God, we have favour with God. And if we have favour with God, we've always had favour with God, which means the circumstances of our lives have been ordered by a loving Father for the good of his children. Look at verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about all thy billows, and thy waves passed over me. See, it's here in this state, a state that God can only bring to us, that we acknowledge the righteousness of God in disciplining us for our sin. It's here that we acknowledge his sovereignty over all things. Verse 4, then, after this process takes place, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I would look again toward thy holy temple. See, it's now that we truly begin to care about what we are before a holy God. And this is where we begin to cry out to him with a very serious regard, not just for the physical, but for our eternal souls. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with the bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, my life up from corruption, O Lord my God. You see, now this isn't just about worldly things, is it? Not about the circumstances of our lives. This has become a matter of overwhelming concern for our spiritual well-being. And the trial, having achieved what God sent it for, causes us to know experimentally and intimately that salvation must be a powerful work of God in grace toward his chosen children. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. See, we're also in this trial brought to pray and genuinely pray to the Lord. We're brought to see that he's the only hope that we have for salvation. And we're brought to see that these prayers really do reach the ears of God, that they actually do enter his holy temple. And how do they enter that? It's by the advocacy of a gracious substitute, the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ before him. You can read about it in Romans 8. See, as I said, there's many golden threads running through this book. through all the scriptures, and all of them cry Christ and him crucified. But one of the pictures, if you do read chapter 1 later on by yourself, you'll see that Jonah was thrown into the raging ocean. And that one man was sacrificed. And the rest of the men in that ship were saved because of that sacrifice. See, first and foremost, what we're reading here is an experience of our Saviour on our behalf, suffering the wrath of his Father for the sake of our sins. Verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Throughout this process, as I said, we're taught many things, or a number of things, that are foundational. Prior to this process, we rested in our own wisdom and we rested in our own strength and we looked to men. The word vanity means emptiness. It means no substance. If you want to enter the presence of a holy God, you must have his perfect righteousness. And the activities of men, the wisdom of men, the works of men never produce the goods to enter a perfect holy presence. And they're lying vanities, aren't they? It's a great description of the false religion that I spoke to you about at the start. They proclaim a salvation that is not salvation. They declare that salvation rests in the abilities of men. And it's a lie because it's the same lie we received in the garden from Satan. Wisdom and works and salvation cannot come through the activities of men. It must be an activity of God, and it must be applied by the activities of God to each of his saved individuals. See, we turn from that in this process, don't we? Look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. See, but it's now that we turn away from our carnal, inadequate offerings to God. Our sacrifice is now simply thanking God for his salvation. And what is it to pay our vows? It's simply declaring the true and only way of salvation. It's declaring the gospel. That's how we praise our God. That's how we pay our vows. That's how we sacrifice to our Father in heaven. We declare salvation is of the Lord. And what happens when we reach that point, when this trial has reached its end? Verse 10, and the Lord spoke to the fish in sovereignty, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. And if you want to continue reading in Jonah, you'll see that Jonah was spoken to again by the Lord and sent again by the Lord. And what did Jonah do? He faithfully proclaimed the gospel. He was faithful to the Lord, his God, and he was faithful to men's souls. So what a great contrast we have here in this chapter between false religion and what we see in the scriptures. My hope is that God will teach every one of us this, his precious truths personally, as painful as it might be. My hope is that he continue to grow our faith through the trials of this world, which he sovereignly controls. And my hope is that he'd continue to use us to proclaim the gospel in this desperate and fallen world. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, these are things that only you can do. And we're convinced of that, but we need convincing. We need continual convincing. We're weak and fallen and frail, and so apt to go back to our natural ways. Father, as painful as they are, please continue to do what's necessary to bring us into greater union with you, to bring us closer, to draw us nearer, and to make known to us the more and more the wonders of our great King and Saviour in his activities on our behalf and in our lives. We thank you again for the opportunity to worship you together, and we pray that throughout our time together, Heavenly Father, you would fulfil that promise to walk amongst us and apply your word to our hearts. Thank you again for the grace that we live by and live in, and Lord willing, we'll live for eternity in. We pray in the name of our great King and Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.